desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. Written on the board, a sure word of prophecy. By the help of the Lord, that's what we would like to give some consideration to this morning. We'd like to begin in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin reading with verse 16. It said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we have made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." This morning, I want to share with you, and I want to, especially you children, young people, I'd really encourage you to listen to the message this morning. We are not following cunningly devised fables. Our service to the Lord and what we believe and what we teach here and what your parents teach you at home, these are not fairy tales. We are not following, Peter said, we're not following cunningly devised fables. In other words, this isn't just men's wisdom. These aren't just stories. What we teach and what we live this morning is more than just a philosophy of life. There are philosophies of life. You can go to the bookstore and you can find some good writings, you know, good philosophies of life, moral living, good things to do, but we are living and believing more than just a philosophy of life this morning. There are a lot of different religious viewpoints. You can about choose what you want to believe, and you can find someone that will agree with you on at least some of your points, and you can find then a church that you can go to that will make you feel comfortable for you to believe what you want to believe. I think it's important for who we are as a people this morning and what we're about to know why we live how we live. Why do we teach what we teach? And I have been very impressed and stirred of late that we know. It's why it's important to study the Word of God. Know what it says. Know what it teaches. Know for yourself and seek God for divine revelation in your life, that you will have personal convictions and standards that go beyond just men's wisdom or a philosophy or an idea, whether you hear it out there or in here. That we are not following just cunningly devised fables this morning or philosophies. Paul Peter said here, we were eyewitnesses. What were they eyewitnesses of? They were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, they had heard and they had read some of the prophecies about the resurrection, that Jesus would be resurrected, but they didn't fully comprehend what was going to happen. They didn't really understand. It was dark to them. They saw it was like when it's dusk out, or maybe even in the dawn before the sun has fully come up, and you can see a little bit, but it's not clear. They had read about the coming of the Messiah, but they didn't really understand all that the prophecy meant until it happened. And they were telling the people here, Peter was saying, we're not just following ideas of men or fables or men's wisdom, but he said we were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. This is someone that we heard him teach. There are many people this morning that will acknowledge Jesus was a good man. They will acknowledge even that he was a prophet from God. Islam acknowledges that Jesus was a prophet from God. He was a good man. But they don't acknowledge that he was the Son of God. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and when he died, 3 days later, he rose again. This isn't just a fairy tale. He was seen of hundreds of people after his resurrection. It wasn't done in a corner. And historically, it came to pass. Well, this was the man that they saw heal the sick. They saw him raise the dead. They saw the blind able to see. They heard him tell people, your sins are forgiven you. But more than that, they saw this man, Jesus Christ, rise from the dead. And then they saw him, 50 days later, they saw him rise up into the clouds to go on to heaven, to be with the Lord, to be with God. He said, we were eyewitnesses, we saw it. I live like I live this morning based on something that goes beyond just another religion. It goes beyond just what someone has taught somewhere. These are not cunningly devised fables. I too can say this morning, I have been an eyewitness. And you say, well, you weren't there when Jesus rose. We sing a song, a resurrection, what? I confess has taken place within my breast. Do you know that that was a miracle? When Jesus comes in my life and did for me what I could not do for myself. The things that I was bound by, the things I couldn't do, Jesus Christ came and worked a miracle. So someone can argue about, is Jesus real or not? But I can tell you this morning, He's real because I found it works. And when I follow the Word of God, what the litmus test of whether something is true is try it. And I will say, when you try the Word of God, it works this morning. Now, if you try to do it on your own terms, it's not going to work. You try to just do part of it, it's not going to work. But if you will do what it says and how it teaches us to live, it'll work for you. It'll work. It will bring peace. It will bring comfort. It will bring victory. It will bring peace. It will bring all of the things He promised to bring. So how do I know that I'm living right? How do I know that I'm not just part of another church? It's because it works. It works. Whenever I try to intersperse my own thinking into it, though, things start getting messed up. But Peter said, we're not following cunningly devised fables. But he said, we were eyewitnesses. When we've made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. This is why Paul told over in 1 Corinthians, in the second chapter, verses 4 to 5, he said, and my speech and my preaching was not with what? Enticing words. With men's wisdom, enticing words of men's wisdom, but was in demonstration of the Spirit and power that your faith... Now, he gave them the reason why. He said, I'm not coming, and maybe I don't always say everything just right. And maybe I don't have the eloquency, and maybe I can't phrase it, and maybe I can't captivate your mind with my words like a lot of people can. But he said, that's not what this is about. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This morning, we're not about entertainment here. We're not about trying to capture, intellectualize the gospel even. This is about a simple plan of believing in Jesus Christ as my Savior that made a change in my life. And I'm looking forward to a day to come when I can go to be with heaven and go to be in heaven with God. It's not just a fairy tale. It works this morning. And that's where I believe this morning because of what it did in my life. I believe because when I follow the Word of God, it works. And I believe this morning because of the power of God. I've seen it work. I've seen it work. It's real this morning. This is real. And the things that we teach, if it's from the Word of God, you better listen. Is that too strong? You better not only listen, you better obey, you better yield, you better submit to it. And we're going to get there in a little bit, but he said, take heed. In other words, listen to what's being taught. Listen to what the Bible says, because it's true. And if you turn away from it, you're going to get in trouble. It's not an issue saying, I want to find a church where I can be comfortable, or I don't want to go to church at all. I'm not even sure there's anything to this. The Scripture says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart. Folks, we're living a time there's a lot of foolish people. There's a lot of foolish people that have sat right under the sound of the gospel, raised, hearing the gospel, seeing the gospel. And the devil comes along and plants seeds of doubt. Well, there may not even be anything to this. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This is real this morning. Let's read on. He said, for he received from God, speaking about Jesus, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. It's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. He was referencing when they saw Jesus transfigured. You remember who showed up with Jesus and communed with Him? Moses and Elisha. You remember why, or Elijah rather, not Elisha, it was Elijah. It was Moses and Elijah. Moses represented what? The law. And Elijah represented the prophets. So now we have the law by Moses, the prophet Elijah, and then we have Jesus Christ representing a New Testament dispensation. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And we have all three of them together. And remember, was it Peter? He said, let's make a tabernacle for all three of them. In other words, we'll make a place of abode we honor and we reverence. This is Moses. How would you like to see and spend some time with Moses this morning? Or maybe the prophet Elijah. And so they were going to honor, we're going to make a tabernacle to each of them. And God spoke out of heaven. And He said, this is My Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. In other words, we honor and we appreciate and respect Moses and what he stood for. And we respect how God used him. And we respect the prophets. But He said, this is My Son. I want you to listen to Him. I want you to hear Him. I don't want you to honor anything else. Folks, there's a scripture again in the Old Testament that says, I am the Lord, that is My name, and My glory will I not give to another. I believe when God stops getting the glory stops. Why do we live like we live this morning? It's because of Jesus Christ. It's real, He's real, and Jesus is alive today. He's not in the tomb. He's alive. And Peter was reminding the people, he said, we're not just following another philosophy. We're not just following another religion. He said, this is real. We saw Jesus. And he went on to say, he reminded them, we were with Him on the Mount. And we heard what God said. Were you there on the Mount? I wasn't. I have to take His word for it. I wasn't there. But I want to tell you something. I'm not having to take anybody's word about what Jesus can do in somebody's life. Because I found it so. I've experienced it personally. And so as he reminded them, he said, hear ye him. And what he was saying here is, there's some confirmation to this now. Again, it's not just a fairy tale. We saw him and we heard what God said. Listen to him. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And he went on to say in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I want to say this morning, that he said here, knowing we have a more sure word of prophecy. After telling the people, it's not just a fairy tale. He said, we were eyewitnesses and we saw the Lord. We saw Him transfigured. We heard God on the Mount. But now he's saying we have also a more sure word of prophecy. What he was saying is here, we have heard the word of prophecy confirmed. In other words, we read about it. We read in the old, we call it the Old Testament, but to them the scrolls. What the prophet said. We read the prophecies of the foretelling of the coming of Jesus. And we saw it happen. It was confirmed. The prophecy was confirmed. It was real. It came to pass. Like he said, there was a visible fulfillment. And you know what? That makes their assurance doubly sure. There's a sure word of prophecy. It was prophesied about. And then we saw it happen. So I'm convinced. I'm persuaded this morning. Well, in the days of the Old Testament, God sent prophets. And they prophesied of so many different things to happen. They prophesied of Christ. You read through the prophets and you know what you'll find? So many places are prophesying about the coming of Christ. And the disciples, the Jews, the Pharisees, they studied those things. Why do you think the wise men came from the east to find the king of the Jews? You notice who I said they were coming to find? A king. Where did they find that there was going to be a king born? Probably from some of the writings of Daniel, prophesying of the coming Messiah. And so Peter's saying, we read about those things, but we saw happen. We believe. This wasn't just devised. The Word of God is unique. Among all books, it's unique because it foretold accurately hundreds of specific events that were prophesied, and it came to pass. See, it's a little more difficult for us this morning because we call this the Bible, right? We look at this as one book. But understand, this book was just a compilation of a lot of other books and writings. So all of these in the Old Testament, these were written hundreds and thousands of years before the fulfillment of these prophecies that were given. Hundreds of years separate. There is one author indicated, and I didn't go through and count them, that there were close to 2,500 prophecies in the Bible. Okay? Said that probably about 2,000 of these prophecies have been fulfilled. There's about 500 or so left. You know what those prophecies relate to? The end of time. The coming back of Jesus Christ. But before we get there, I want us to consider the first coming of Christ. There are so many prophecies that were given about the coming of Christ. And you know what happened? Just like it was prophesied, it happened. This isn't a fairy tale. You say, why do you believe the Bible? I believe it because it works. I've seen it work in my life. I've seen God work in others. Work miracles, divine. I've seen that. I've experienced it. But I also know it's true because the prophecies of it came to pass, just like they said. And I want to give a little reference to this, and I am drawing from a couple of different authors that have studied the statistical probability. Hugh Ross is one, and Stoner, an author by the name of Stoner, was another one. But he said, consider, and I want us to consider just for a few minutes, and I'm just going to touch on four or five of them. But there are hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament. There's hundreds of them. But just one of them, for example, about 500 B.C. Daniel. You read the book of Daniel. Daniel's a book of prophecy. It's a book of prophecy about kingdoms being set up, kingdoms fall. It's a book of prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. It is astounding how specific he was. He told who these kingdoms that were set up. We studied that last month. That couldn't have just happened. Some of these obscure countries, who are the Romans? You just wait a while, you'll find out who they were. The prophecy of how they were going to conquer nations and how they were going to be divided. I couldn't have even begun to imagine those things that came to pass. But in 500 B.C., Daniel prophesied of the coming of a Messiah. He prophesied, and you can find in the book of Daniel, but he prophesied that after the decree was given to rebuild Jerusalem, 483 years after that decree, the Messiah would come. Now, historically, you know what happened? That decree was given by Artaxerxes to Ezra in 458 B.C. You know what happened 483 years later? Messiah came. At the time, people were questioning. It was dark. They didn't totally understand it. But looking back, you can see the fulfillment in its light. And he began his ministry then thereafter. Daniel gives so much specificity to the coming of Christ. And it came to pass. Why do I believe this morning? Because there's a sure word of prophecy. It said it and it happened. In about 700 B.C., Micah, that little book of Micah in your Bible, he prophesied where the Messiah would be born. One of the greatest historical facts of all time. Where was Jesus born? In Bethlehem. 700 years before it happened, it was prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. In the fulfillment of that, we know that that's one of the most celebrated facts in history. Zechariah in the 5th century BC, Zechariah prophesied over in the 11th chapter that the Messiah would be betrayed for the price of a slave, 30 pieces of silver. It came to pass. Did that just happen? David and Zechariah both, and there are others as well, and I'm touching the surface. Just barely, not even hardly a visible scratch to the prophecies. David, Zechariah prophesied that the Messiah would be killed by crucifixion. And one author stated, and I didn't go to verify it, they said that was before crucifixion was even a mode of death. It wasn't even in use at the time. I don't know. But they said that the Romans, you know, Zechariah and David prophesied that not one of his bones would be broken. Do you know that that was contrary to how crucifixions take place? Because their bones are broken, but Jesus died before. Remember, the soldiers came up to check, and they normally break their legs so they'd slump on the cross and they'd strangle. Okay? They couldn't get their air because they'd slump, and so they'd end up not getting air and they die. They came to Jesus and he was already dead. That was prophesied about by King David, by the prophet Zechariah. All of these statistics, that's just four of them. There are hundreds of prophecies that prophesied of Jesus Christ. What are the odds? You know how to do statistics? We don't have enough time to get too much into it. But I told Renee yesterday, I said, just even if there was going to be someone born a Jew that was going to be the Messiah, what are the odds that he'd come from the tribe of Judah? How many tribes were there? 12 numbered, right? Levites weren't numbered, so really 13, right? Okay. So, out of 13, 1 in 13, the probability is 1 out of 13 even, just on that fact alone, that he came from the tribe of Judah. He was prophesied from the tribe of Judah, from the lineage of David. So how many families? How many main families came out of David? Hundreds of them? What is the probability that it came from, out of the Judah, out of the tribe of Judah, I meant, how many families in the tribe of Judah? I don't know. But the probabilities are astounding. And he put it this way, he said, if you just take 8 prophecies, right, just 8 prophecies alone, and with modern statistical analysis, determine what the probability that even 8 of those would be fulfilled by one person, like it was with Jesus Christ, he said you would have a 1 to the 10 to the 17th power. 1 by 10 to the 17th power. And to those of you that know your math, that's a 1 with 17 zeros behind it. Can you comprehend that number? It's kind of difficult, isn't it? He gave the analogy, he said that's just for 8 prophecies. You know how many prophecies there are that have been fulfilled? 2,000. We're just taking 8 of them. He said it's like taking silver dollars. And you could, in taking that many silver dollars, and you could lay them across the state of Texas 2 feet deep. And you take one of those coins, just one of them, and put a mark on it, and then mix it in the state of Texas 2 feet deep, all over Texas, and take a man and put a blindfold on him, and send him into Texas, and say, go pick out a coin, and for him to pick it up and be the coin that you've marked. Is that even possible? You want to know why I believe this morning? We have a sure word of prophecy. It was prophesied and it came to pass and it was fulfilled. And if you take the even 48 prophecies, some of the major 48 prophecies of the coming of Christ, the first coming of Christ, it would be 10 to the 157th power. And they came to pass. We're not following cunningly devised fables this morning. So let's read on to what Peter said. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. When the prophets spoke, do you remember they were so often neglected? When the prophets spoke, they were neglected. What about Noah, for example? The preacher of righteousness, and people laughed. They didn't listen to him. It had not even rained before the time of Vinod. You remember that? It just came up as dew, the water, as dew. It hadn't even rained before the time of Noah. And here's this crazy man out building a big boat, saying it's going to rain and flood the earth. What would you think about someone like that? I probably question his sanity too. You understand? But the fact of the matter is, it happened. And you know, all of those people that laughed at Noah, they are believers today. They are believers today. When the first drop of rain came out of the sky, they were thinking, wait a minute. Remember that old crazy man down the road that we've been kind of laughing at every time we go by? You want to think that didn't start making them think about God a little bit? This man said, God is not happy. He's going to bring judgment on your unrighteousness. And when that first drop of rain came, I believe there were some people who started believing, but it was too late. We have a sure word of prophecy. When prophecy is given, many times it's obscure. We don't understand it all because it hasn't happened. And so all we do is we read the prophecies and say, okay, but once it has come to pass, it's illuminated, it's clear. Well, that's what he meant when he said here, and he said that there is the light that shineth in a dark place. You've seen some of the prophecies. It's a lamp. It's kind of showing some things. But you know, when the sun comes up, I think even my study the other day, my windows are normally just shut. And I walked in the other day, I thought, it is just dark in here. And so I started opening up my blinds. You know, there's such a difference. Just to let the natural light come in, it illuminates, it's clear. You know, this morning, that's what the prophecies do when they're fulfilled. We just see it kind of obscure. We're not quite sure we understand it all, but when it happens, it's clear. He's saying, you would do well to take heed. Take heed to the prophecies. Because it's true now, there are some unfulfilled prophecies this morning. And really, this sure word of prophecy, it's getting to the crux of a burden that God has put on my heart deeply the last number of months. And I hope y'all don't get tired of hearing it, because you're going to be hearing it more. The prophecies that are left unfulfilled, most of them relate to when Jesus is going to come back a second time. We're not following cunningly devised fables this morning. It was prophesied that he came the first time, and it happened just like it said. There's a sure word of prophecy. And just as sure this morning, Jesus is going to come back just like it says he will. And he's going to usher us to the judgment. This earth is going to be burned over. There's not going to be any more time. There's not going to be time to pray. There's not going to be time to repent. And my message to you this morning is, you better get ready to meet God. You better get ready to meet God. It's a take heed. The Bible doctrine of living holy, purity, godly, letting your affections be set on the things above and not on things of this earth, you would do well to take heed to it. You children and young people that see people walking away from God and leaving it, folks, the fool has said in his heart there's no God. Jesus is going to come back, and what the Lord has just stirred me with, and I'm convinced this morning that time is short. Prophecy is being fulfilled this morning. The signs of the time, I look at what the Bible says, and I look around me, and the signs are being fulfilled. And I'm not going to take the time right now, maybe we'll get to it, but I begin to look and study to see how long God dealt with people before He brought judgment. And all I can say is, based on the pattern of Noah to the flood to Abraham to Moses to the coming of Jesus Christ to where we are today, we're on borrowed time. And I don't think time is going to last very much longer. The Lord is about to say it's long enough and He's going to come back. And we are foolish this morning if we go on our way thinking, I'll have my own brand of religion, if any at all. We have a sure word of prophecy, and it's going to happen like He said it would. Lord willing, we can start studying some of that. But I want us to know that the Lord is going to come back. And that day, when that day dawns, when He comes breaking through the clouds, there's not going to be any question left. And I want to say this too. When Jesus comes back, there's not going to be anybody left on this earth. There's going to be a resurrection of the just. the good to eternal life. In those that have done evil, there's going to be a resurrection of damnation. And everybody's going to stand before the judgment seat of God. Left behind, no one's going to be left behind this morning. We have a sure word of prophecy. And I read in the Bible and I see what it says. And I look at what the religious world is teaching. And they're deluded and they're false. And it's because the devil wants people to think you're going to have another chance. There are no second chances this morning because today is the day of salvation. We have a sure word of prophecy of the past prophecies, they've been fulfilled, and the few that remain, Jesus is going to come back just like He said He would. Take heed to the prophecy this morning. Over, and we won't even take the time to read. I want to bring this to a conclusion. But in Acts, in the first chapter, in the 11th verse, remember when the disciples were there with Jesus? The last few words, and then Jesus began to ascend to heaven. And it said they began to look up and they were watching the Messiah. The one that they had seen and believed in. The man they had seen heal the sick, raise the dead, give sight to the blind, healing to those that were broken and wounded. The man they'd seen rise from the dead. The one that forgave their sins. The one that gave them peace. The one that when they walked with them, their heart burned inside. And they saw Him lift off the earth. And they stood there gazing, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And the angel of the Lord said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus," I'm going to read it, "the same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go." In other words, Jesus is going to come back just like you see Him. He's going to come back in the clouds. And there's going to be a final resurrection day. In this earth, the Scripture says in Peter, is going to be burned up and it's going to melt with a fervent heat. You would do well this morning to listen and believe and give your life to Jesus. Don't give in to the doubts and the unbelief. Is this really real? And you sit around in family worship and mom and dad are telling you to live right and love God, and you're going to go away and you're going to find times the devil's going to say, "You don't really have to live that way." I want to tell you, you don't have to listen to me this morning, but there's going to come a day that we're going to stand before God and you're going to remember the truths that God gave to you. We have a sure word of prophecy. It's been fulfilled, and those few remaining, Jesus is going to come back. I want to encourage you to take heed this morning to the message. Take heed, because I feel like if I had one message, I wish I could go everywhere right now and tell people that time is short. I wish I could go everywhere and tell them that there's not much time left. I believe it in the bottom and the core of my spirit this morning. The Lord's been dealing with me. And my heart has been heavy last night. Just in family worship, the Lord came down. We were in a spirit of conviction with God. Do you know this morning, our time is short. The Scripture says in Revelation 22, verse 20, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." I come quickly. I want to wrap this message up this morning, and this message is not going to be wrapped up. It's going to go on and on and on until Jesus comes back. A sure word of prophecy. He promised to come back. He promised to come back and judge us. He promised that He was going to destroy this world. And I see where we're at in time. I see where we're at in according to the pattern of God's judgment, and our time is short. Jesus is coming quickly this morning. Jesus is not going to delay His coming much longer. All of the people that have scoffed at that message, that have died, they believe it this morning. They're believers this morning. They don't question it. They know eternity is real because they're in paradise with God if they've been saved, or they're in the place of departed spirits where it's utter darkness. Until the coming back of Jesus Christ, when we're going to stand before the judgment and either go to heaven or hell. And how are we going to be judged? We're going to be judged according to our deeds. It means it makes a difference in how you live this morning. So it makes any difference in your life. I want it to make a difference in mine. Jesus is coming back. I do not believe time is going to last much longer. I don't know when He's coming back. Scripture says, "No man knoweth the day nor the hour when the Son of Man would return. No man, even the Son, doesn't know but just the Father. But I want you to know this morning we have a sure word of prophecy. Just like He came the first time and it was fulfilled to statistical improbabilities, it happened. So He's going to come back. Jesus is coming soon. Your time on this earth, you know, even if Jesus doesn't come back in the next 80 years, most all of us will be gone. I don't know that we have 80 years, whether He comes back for me individually or all of us, but when I look at the collective picture and what the prophecy says, our time is short. I'm going to share one other thing for you. I remember as a child, I believe there's a track, and I've read some other writings of people stopping years ago. Remember hearing as a little boy, someone stopped and picked up a hitchhiker. Some of you read that track. Maybe someone stopped and picked up a hitchhiker. Driving down the road, and the hitchhiker said, "Jesus is coming soon." And they turned around and looked. No one there. Was it an angel of the Lord? I don't know. I can't attest to the veracity of it. I wasn't there. But what I can tell you is this. Jesus is coming soon. Don't delay. And I want to tell you, with your loved ones, we heard this morning about sowing the seed. If you don't sow it now, there may be no time to sow. There are people that are going out into eternity, and I'd rather be spit in the face and cussed at and threatened, and I've been, all those things been done to me, and rather sow some seed to give someone opportunity, because time is short. It's what the Bible says, and I believe it is going to happen.